Great. Well, we're going to read from John chapter 14. We're actually going to read the verses around that famous verse, John 14 verse 6 too. So when you come to John 14 verse 6, maybe you'll realize you've heard this verse before. Okay. Let's read John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 1 to 14. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Brilliant. Well, may I just say again how wonderful it is to be with you. It's such a privilege, and it's so lovely to come back and see people that I recognize. And I just want to encourage you, the people that I do recognize, I'm looking at lots of you now, that is so encouraging to come back 11 years on. And I know lots has changed in the life of this church from 11 years. But it's so encouraging to see so many familiar faces. And, you know, my prayer as we look at this famous saying of Jesus is that we might all be walking with Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, right till the very end of our days, or he returns. And so it's so encouraging to see you guys here. And some I don't recognize, but I should recognize. Like, I didn't recognize the pianist and the drummer, but then I realized that actually it's Joel and Danae, and they were about this tall when I was last here. And they shot. Sorry to embarrass you guys. It's so embarrassing, I know. Anyway, listen, if you would find it helpful, then I'd love it if you came down to the front, okay, and just sat on the floor here. So I think my children might come down to the front and sit on the floor here with me and listen. And I'd love it if there were other children, or indeed anybody, actually. You can be any age, you know. If you find it helpful to see what I'm just saying and showing you, then come down to the front here. There's a few spaces on the front row. There's lots of carpet too. I'm going to move this lectern, and when I turn around again, be wonderful if there are a few faces. So yeah, let's see if that works. Oh, look at that. It's worked. Brilliant. So come on down. Come on down. Because you heard me say, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Well, that's what Jesus said himself, wasn't it? That famous verse, John 14 and verse 6. And so we're going to split our time into three short sections this morning and break it up with a couple of songs. And we'll look at each of those things that Jesus said using those verses that we read around. When Jesus said he is the way, what did he mean? When he said I am the truth, what did he mean? When he said I am the life, what did he mean? And what does it mean for us? Okay, first of all though, I need some help. So good job that you guys came down to the front here. I've got a few things in my bag there, and I wonder whether you'd be able to pick them out. I mean, anyone would volunteer, but I may go down the front here first. Okay, so I want to put the hand in my bag. Oh, great, good. Thank you very much. Pick up something there. Oh, excellent. Okay, stand up and show everybody what it is. That'd be really helpful.
okay? And you can even shout out a car, okay? Very good. We've got a car. And now, just tell me, where would you like, where could you go in a car? Anywhere you'd like to go in a car? Go get a shopping in the car. Brilliant. Absolutely. Okay. Anybody else want to pick something out? Oh, very good. Brilliant. You hand them to the gap all the way in, right at the bottom. Okay. Brilliant. Stand up and shout out. What is it? Turn around and show everybody. What is it? It's a rocket. A rocket. Yeah. Okay. Amazing. A rocket. Now, any ideas? Where could you go with a rocket? Space. To the moon. They're trying to go to the moon, aren't they? They're trying to send that Artemis space rocket from Cape Canaveral in Florida. They're trying to send it up to the moon. But it's not going to keep being dislayed by storms and technical faults and all the rest of it. Steve's trying to show you what to do. Okay, you need to send it like that.
Ah. He did tell numerous times. It's on, but it's on mute. So there we go. I wasn't listening. That was bad listening. Okay. Very good. All right. I've got two more very quickly. Okay. Anybody else want to put their hand in the bag and pull one out? One of you? Okay. You pull one out and stand up and tell everybody what it is. Go on then. And last one over here. Stand up. Oh, no, that's a board pen. Try that one. There we go. Okay. Stand up. What have we got there? Wow. That's loud. Excellent. And what have you got there, Rory? You've got a train. Are you going to hold it up for people to see? Hold it up for people to see? Okay. Kind of held up. There we are. A train and an aeroplane. And you could go to other places in this country. You could go over the sea, couldn't you? To all different kinds of places. Okay. Now, if you've got one of those modes of transport, just stand up and stand up and show it to everybody. Okay. And I'm going to ask a few questions of everybody and just have some participation. All right. Can you just stand up there and show everybody your thing? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you a place. And you have to tell me, what do you think would be the most sensible way to get there? Okay? Most sensible way to get there. Okay, so the first place is if you were going to go right into London Bridge. Okay? What's the most sensible mode of transport? Hold them all up, guys. Okay? And I'll say, 1, 2, 3, shout it out. 1, 2, 3. Okay? Everyone thinks a car. I heard quite a few trains. I think a train from here would make most sense, wouldn't it? That's very good. Okay. How about if you were going to France? Okay. You're going to go to France from here. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Quite a few aeroplanes. Okay. It's not, maybe a few trains. Very good. And how about if you were going to the United States of America? Okay. How would, yeah, definitely plane, isn't it? Okay. Last one. How about if you were trying to get to heaven?
Nothing.
Edward knows the answer. Nothing, yeah. Nothing, right? None of these will work, will they? It's a trick question. Okay, put them back in the bag. A car's not going to work. A rocket's not going to work, although some people might think that. A plane isn't going to work, and neither's a train. Thank you, guys. You sit down. That's brilliant. Okay. They don't fly, exactly. So we're not going to get to heaven with any of those modes of transport. It's just not going to happen, isn't it? But that's what Jesus is talking about in these verses. He's talking about the way to get to heaven. I wonder if you heard it when we read it. Because if you were reading verses 2 to 4, that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Jesus isn't talking about a literal house with many, many, many rooms. He's talking figuratively about heaven, the place where God is, God's house. And he says, in my Father's house, in God's house, there are many rooms. He's speaking about heaven and he's telling them the way to get there. The disciples are a bit confused, aren't they? Verse 5, Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we follow you? How can we know the way?" he says. And so Jesus spells it out, doesn't he? Verse 6, that famous saying, Jesus said to them, "I am the way. I am the way." Now, I've got a sign here for you, okay? And let's see if we can all tell me what this sign means. Does anybody tell me what does this... It's one way, isn't it? Okay. Now, you get in trouble. I've a very reliable answerer down here at the front. Okay, that's excellent. He may have heard this talk before. That's why. Okay. So it's a one-way sign, isn't it? One way. Okay. Now, if you ignore this sign, you get into trouble, don't you? You get into trouble. He really does know. He really does know this talk. There you go. Okay. You get into trouble, don't you? You get into trouble. And if you happen to go the wrong way down a one-way bus lane, you get into even more trouble, don't you? And if you happen to go the wrong way down a one-way bus lane, and I may be speaking from personal experience here, and there's a bus coming the other way, then you're in even more trouble. It's getting really serious. And if you're going the wrong way down a one-way bus line and there's a bus coming the other way and you look in your rearview mirror and there's a police car with its blue lights on in your rearview mirror, then you know you're really, really in trouble and it's going to go down as one of the worst days, certainly that year. Okay. So if you ignore a one-way sign, it's serious. You're going to get into trouble. And Jesus, when he says, I am the way, it's a little bit like a big one-way sign, isn't it? He's saying there's only one way to God. There's no other person or religion or thing that can take you there. It's only me. There's only one way. Notice he doesn't say I am a way. He says I am the way. There's only one. So let's just see if, how well you're listening. How many ways are there to God, to the Father, to the Father's house? Just one. Just one. There's only one way. One way. And notice one final thing before we sing. It's not that Jesus says, I will show you the way, or I'll model for you the way, or I'll display for you the way you should live. No. He isn't the sign. Jesus isn't the sign, right? Pointing us to the way. He says, I am the way. He himself is the way. Now, maybe you, some of you know what this is like, but I have a dear friend of mine who's a great guy and I love him lots. And he believes in God and he's spiritual and he even prays. He even asks me what he can pray for me. But he's a bit fuzzy on Jesus. He doesn't really know what to make of him. He doesn't really know what he believes about Jesus. And so I need to remember this, what Jesus says here, where Jesus says, I am the way to God. I am the way. I need to remember that when I'm talking to him, because it makes the world of a difference. Well, we're going to stand and sing just to break things up a little bit. And then we'll think about Jesus, what he said means when he says, I am the truth. Let's stand and sing together. Thank you. Take a seat. And the second part, we're thinking about Jesus and what he means when he says, I am the truth. Now, does anybody know anyone in their families or friends maybe who looks like this when they're out and about? And then when the door closes and they're at home, they look a bit like this. Anybody know somebody like that? Anybody? I know somebody who's a bit like that sometimes. I can be grumpy. I can be different behind my own closed door than I am when I'm out and about. You see, how are you going to know? So someone down here, that's it. Yeah. How are you going to know the truth about me? Because I look like, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't. I think I look like a nice kind of guy. You know, I'm quite friendly. I'm smiling. But how do you really know the truth about me? Well, it's going to be by following me around, isn't it? By seeing me in action. By seeing me in all kinds of different circumstances and situations. That's how you'll really find out the truth about me. So how do we know the truth about God? Well, it's kind of the same. We see God in action. And that's really what the whole of the Bible is. It's a story of God's dealings with the world and with people, right from creation and all the way into the future, actually, in prophetic terms, of what will happen as well. It's an account of God's dealings with the world. It's God in action. And nowhere more so than in the life of Jesus. Because Jesus says, I am the truth. You see, he is the truth about God. He is the truth of God. But even more than that, he is truth embodied. Truth in flesh. Everything he did and said and taught was and is truth because, as he says here, I am the truth. Look at verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth. The truth. The truth. Look at verses 8 and 9. Philip has a little discussion with him, doesn't he? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And I love this reply of Jesus. He must just have been so exasperated. I think I can sense the exasperation in his voice with these disciples and how slow they are. He says, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know me? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me, wow, listen to this. Anyone who has seen me, says Jesus, has seen the Father. One and the same. So you see, Jesus is truth embodied. He is the truth of and about God. He is truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. And so you see, of course, that's why it's worth paying attention to the words of Jesus, isn't it? That's why it's good to pray the Lord's Prayer as we did just a few moments ago, because that was the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, here you go. It's truth. It's true. Jesus says, I am the truth. Now, I wonder, has anybody ever seen, not to move too much around, has anyone ever seen a picture that looks a little bit like this? Now, you have to forgive me, because my art isn't very good, okay? Anyone any ideas what that is?
Mountain.
Absolutely. I'm so glad I've got a good interpreter down here. It's a mountain, obviously. Okay, it's a mountain. Maybe I'll add some kind of rocky outcrops on the top here. Now it just looks like a horned hill, doesn't it? Anyway, forget that. It's a mountain, okay? And I don't know if anyone has ever said this to you or drawn this for you or said something like this. They say, God is at the top of the mountain. And you know what? There's all kinds of different paths up to God. You know, Muhammad shows you one way. And Buddha shows you another. And Brahman shows you a third. And, well, Jesus, he's just a fourth way up the mountain. You see, you follow these guys, and you follow whichever one you follow, you'll get there in the end. Everyone will get there in the end. Well, what would Jesus say about that? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. The truth. Not a truth, not one of the paths. The truth. The truth. So you see, the only way to the God and the only truth about God is in and through Jesus. Christ and the cross. Maybe you can see that. Maybe you can't very well. But you see, that is the truth about God. That's really what he's like. The cross shows us his love and his forgiveness, his grace to carry at great cost to himself the means of forgiveness for anybody who would come to him and say, please, I need to be forgiven. Please accept me as your friend. Please have me back. And the cross shows us the truth about God, that he loves to do that and he longs to do that. He is the truth, the only way to God. You see, Jesus doesn't show us the truth. He doesn't teach us the truth, although his words are true. He doesn't just model the truth for us. He is the truth in himself. Without Jesus, there's no absolute truth. So why is church so important? Why is this meeting together now so important? Well, let me ask you this question. If you were to turn up at football this morning and I saw, you know, loads of cars out on the park just there as I drove in this morning, loads of cars, people turning up for football. Is anybody going to tell you there about Jesus being the truth? Is anyone going to tell? I doubt it. If you went swimming this morning, is anybody going to be telling you in the changing rooms? Is your swimming coach from the side of the pool going to be shouting at you, remember Jesus, the truth? He's not, is he? It's not going to happen. Maybe in some of our schools, he might get a mention, but oftentimes they're not going to talk about him as the truth. You see, we need church because that is what we come together to remember, to realize, to reconnect with. Jesus, the truth. And as his people, we celebrate him as that. In a world that says Jesus doesn't matter, we come together to say he does, because he is truth. And he matters. We're going to sing again, and then we'll think about that third. And then Jesus says, I am the life. Okay, let's stand. The musicians come up, and we'll sing together. Fantastic. Well, do take a seat. And just put that to the side. And I wonder if everyone can take a look at what I've got at the front here. Because, of course, we're thinking about that third statement. Jesus says, I am the life. Now, what do you think? Is this shell living?
No,
it's not, is it? It's not living in and of itself. I can tell you that because it's very beautiful. It came from the Gambia. A friend of mine in the Gambia gave it to me. And it's very beautiful. I think it maybe is a conch shell or something. And it used to perhaps have something living in it, right? Right in the curve there. Something sheltering and using the shell as protection, but no longer. Okay, this sits on my desk. And it holds my pens and things, and I pull it out normally. And I can tell you, in the 7 years that I've had it on my desk, not once has it moved. Okay? It hasn't moved. It's not alive. It's not alive. All right? In fact, we would say it's dead. But do you know what? Jesus says, I am the life. And the reason I show you this shell is because we as people, without Jesus, we're a little bit like this shell here. We're lifeless. We're powerless. Because Jesus is spiritual life. Now, I don't mean physically, of course, because I can see you're all living and breathing. You don't look much like this shell. Okay? Thankfully. Yeah? But spiritually speaking, without Jesus, we're all like this shell. Lifeless. Powerless. We need the life to come into us. Well, isn't it good news that Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the life, he says. Jesus says, I am the life. He says it in verse 6. He says it at the end of verse 10 as well. He says, he says it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. So Jesus has the Father living in him. And he says, well, I am the life. And he offers us that life to fill the shells of our lives with him and with his life. And it's an amazing kind of life. If you were to read the rest of John's gospel, you'd read about Jesus raising Lazarus, who had been 4 days stuck in the tomb, dead. So much so that everybody was worried when Jesus told them to move the stone away from the tomb because they said, he'll stink. He's been in there for 4 days. But Jesus's life is so powerful that it could conquer that physical death. And it brought Lazarus back to life. His own body lay dead, but on the third day, he rose again. This is a life that cannot be snuffed out by death. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, doesn't he? Elsewhere in John's gospel, I am the resurrection and the life. Here, I am the life. Jesus offers us a spiritual life that cannot be snuffed out by death. And that is such good news. Now, I wonder if you spotted an interesting part in the passage that we read. Okay, in verse 12, if you've got a Bible, then have a look at it. Verse 12. I wonder what you made of this promise of verse 12. You see, I could think of a number of churches, some which I drove past probably on the way here this morning, and they would take verse 12. And they'd expect us to be walking out the door here and raising people like Jesus raised people. Let's read these verses, shall we? Verse 12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. So Jesus promises his disciples spiritual life when he's in heaven, right? And spiritual power when he's in heaven too. Did you see that? He says, you can ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it, he says. He says, you'll do even greater things than the things you've seen me do. Wow. That's quite a promise, isn't it? We should take Jesus at his word, shouldn't we? But what does he mean? What does he mean? Well, it can't mean, can it, simply that he means that that we are going to do more things than he did, greater than these, more than he did. Because that's just so simple, it doesn't make sense. If he'd meant that, he'd have said, you'll do more stuff than I've been able to do in 3 years of ministry. But that's not what he means, is it, really? Nor can he possibly mean that he will do more supernatural things. He can't possibly mean that we will do more supernatural things than he's done. Because how can you get more supernatural than raising a man who's 4 days dead? You can't. We can't out-supernatural Jesus in his earthly ministry. We can't do it. It just doesn't make sense like that either to understand it in that way, does it? Well, notice that it's not Jesus' works versus the disciples' works, is it? That's not what Jesus is talking about. Rather, it's all Jesus' works. It's Jesus' works when he's on earth, and it's Jesus' works when he's in heaven. The end of verse 12 is the key. What does he say? Very truly, I tell you, read the whole verse. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Wow. Why? Because going to the Father. So it's to do with where Jesus' works. It's Jesus' works when he's on earth, and we read about those in the Gospels. But everything Jesus has done since the time he went to heaven has been his work too. He is sat at the right hand of the Father, and he gives his people power to do his works, to teach as he taught, to love as he loved, to care as he cares, to pray as he prayed. We are the shell. Jesus gives us life, and from heaven he does his works here on earth. And they shall be greater. In what way are they greater now than when he was on earth? Well, they're greater in scope, aren't they? Jesus was limited by physical geography. Now there are believers all over this world. And wonderfully, in front of me here, I see those believers from all corners of the globe gathered into one place. What an amazing thing. They shall be greater than these, says Jesus. Isn't it? Another way, too. Greater in impact. I wonder, have you ever thought about this, that on the first day of Pentecost, there were more people that turned in faith to Jesus Christ than in the entirety of his earthly ministry? Wow. Greater in impact too. So Jesus says, because I am in heaven, my works will be greater. Not because you're special or I'm special. Not because you, the disciples, are anything great, but because I am in heaven. And in heaven, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father with all authority and power in heaven and earth. So that's what Jesus means when he says, you will do greater things than these. Gee, we are the shell, and Jesus gives us life. Now, this is my final thought, okay, before we wrap up this evening, this morning even. I believe as shells, we all go looking for life. We all go looking for life. Now, I don't think shells actually do this. They don't creep along the beach until they find a snail or something to come in, to crawl inside them. They just lie there and the snail finds them. But we're a bit different. As shells, we go looking for life. We go looking for meaning. We go looking for things to fill our emptiness, don't we? And people try all kinds of different things. But do you know what? And maybe you know this in your life too. Nothing ever fits. Nothing ever fits. I mean, some people, well, I passed them perhaps on the park there. They go looking for meaning in life from football. It gives them a community to be a part of. It gives them something to follow and get excited about. But you see, the problem is that the football just doesn't fit into the shell. It doesn't work, does it? Other people, well, they go looking for technology and gadgets. I mean, this isn't a particularly flash phone, but see, it just can't get it in there. It doesn't fit. If I turn it upside down, it falls out. Okay. It's no good. Other people, they might go looking for money, right? They think if I can just get enough money, then my life will have meaning and purpose and all kinds of things like this. And they try and jam it in, but it might stay in for, it might fill a little bit of the hole, but give it a shake and no chance. I mean, I could go on, couldn't I? Drink, drugs. Anything. We try and fill our holes, the meaning, the shell of our lives with meaning. And we go searching for all kinds of different things, but nothing fits. Nothing fits. Nothing satisfies perfectly. And I take it in some measure, that's why you're here this morning. Either because you've found that Jesus, who says, I am the life, fills your shell perfectly. or because you've realized that nothing else does fit and you're searching for an answer. Well, Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life. That's what he says, isn't it, in verse 6. So I wonder this morning, do you believe this? Because there is no other way. Stop looking for life outside of Jesus. I mean, all those things I mentioned, they're good gifts from God to be enjoyed. I don't want a rubbish football, even if West Ham are rubbish. But did I say that? But okay, they're not, you know, we can enjoy these good gifts from God. Okay, we can enjoy these good gifts from God. But we don't need to try and make them the ultimate thing, because Jesus says, I am the life. I give you life. You won't find it anywhere else. I'll finish with a football story. I used to know the chaplain of Liverpool Football Club when I was up in Liverpool. I still do. He's a wonderful man, very godly, great preacher, actually, as it happens. And he used to go on football. He used to go on hospital visits with the football team. The football team would come round to cheer up people in the hospitals in Liverpool. And he would go with them as the chaplain of the club. And he would come down to the bed of somebody who was very, very ill, probably going to die. And he'd kneel right down and he'd say to them, do you know the anthem of Liverpool Football Club? And do you? And who can shout it out? What is it? You'll never walk alone, of course. You'll never walk alone. And there's a whole heap of history tied up in that song, isn't there? In that anthem. You'll never walk alone. And he said to this person on their sick bed in hospital, he said to them, listen, if you put your hand into the hand of Jesus, then you will never walk alone through life, through death, and into eternity. You will never walk alone, because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. If you put your hand in his hand, you will never walk alone. So I want to leave that with you as an encouragement for us, that if we are walking with Jesus, we might continue to walk with him, the way, the truth, and the life. And if we're not, that we might turn to him and in repentance and faith, ask him to be our way, our truth, our life. And he will answer that prayer. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you so much for sending the Lord Jesus to this earth. We thank you that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray, Father, for those here this morning who don't know you personally, whose lives are like these shells, empty inside. Father, might they ask Jesus to come into their lives and fill them. And would you please be pleased, please, to answer that prayer and fill them with your life. And we pray for those of us who are trusting in Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to keep walking with him every day of our life. We thank you that he promises that we will never walk alone through life, through death, and into eternity. And may that be our experience, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Peace.